My name is Janice Goodman, Nusukya Ayat, and I'd like to introduce this as a process and a product. And the process is this. What I would like us to do is to consider a resolution, since we do everything in terms of resolutions. The process will be for us to develop, and the product will be a resolution. But the process will be for us to develop a debate so that we are talking on both sides of a particular question. I remember when I was in high school in debate class, and they would have a question. And we would have to identify both sides of the question. And we would have to argue both sides of the question. So on a given day, you would have to stand up and prove that A should happen. The year I did it was we should have a national health care system, the Kennedy National Health Insurance. So I'm going to, out of that context, I would like us to pull together a question, and you can argue both sides of it. And perhaps at the end of this time, and I want to know exactly how, until noon, by noon we'll have roughed out maybe a resolution. The question. And I keep reworking it, so. Whereas the social justice ministries that are traditional in the church, the committees on racism and sexism and minority concerns, the hunger and justice and peacemaking commissions are ministries that are empowered not only by the life and the words of Jesus Christ, but also by the Hebrew Bible and the scriptures of the early church. And here are some other whereases which we are going to find out. Whereas in, and then we're going to cite those elements in the word that connect with the question. Therefore, be it resolved that the word and sacrament ministry, which has traditionally been lifted up as a on the other side of the balance ministry, in fact, let's see, be it resolved that they, and I've tried to think of unification words, be united, be married again with the social justice ministry. And so I'm not a resolution writer, but that's that's why I lift it up for all of us to work on. It's a need that I have, and so then I can really benefit from this process. But the question is then, or I guess assumption, and a lot of times in debates we do begin with some assumptions. And in my underlying assumption is this, that it is not true that there is a separation between social justice ministries and the word and sacrament ministry of the church. And that I would like for us this morning to dive into our scriptures and argue the point that there is no such thing as a word and sacrament ministry without social justice. So, if you would like to break up into groups again, maybe alternating this time. Mm-hmm. So we have different groups. One, two, one, two. Three, four, three, four, five, six, five, six. And I'm not giving you exact words. You can reword it and work it out. But the question is, when you look into your Bible, for scripture, we're talking about word. When you look into the sacraments for ritual, talking about sacrament, but what are those things that are in word and sacrament that empower social justice ministry? Okay? Any questions about that?
It's like running by me, so you understand, but
yeah.
We're going our groups looking. You want us to look for Bible passages?
What do you think of when you think of peacemaking? What scriptures empower that ministry?
You want us to find them.
Yes. Which are the ones that you connect with? There's a lot of resources.
And it's all under the big time social justice ministry, but more specifically under that, you're looking peacemaking, anything that deals with justice issues, I guess. Right?
Mission. You know, the church has been organized. The Lutheran Church in America is organized with a separation between word and sacrament ministry, and then you have these other things. And I really want to deal with that a little bit. Why?
Just say something, too, about the day process, which
yes.
Okay, means that when we do this, we're looking for, in essence, proof.
Right.
From the scripture, from our experience with the sacraments. When you're on a debate team, you always have these little note cards with all of the statements. It's quoted in Newsweek, 1984. It says this. Therefore, this supports the point that word sacrament and social justice cannot be separate. On the other hand, you might find some proof in scripture that says it came.
Yeah.
So we're looking for both sides.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. I think I'd be really interested in what you come up with on that. Yeah. What is the argument for separating? What is the argument for making them one? Okay? Shall we try it? It's a process. I'm not sure just how it'll come out.
And you wanted us just to do that work, not to get into the debate in our groups.
Let's say you're preparing to be ready to debate this issue.
Let's not
do this too long for right now. Let's go 10, 12 minutes, and then come back and see what has happened.
For me, I could think of, I couldn't locate stuff in my mind. I could think of such and such a passage about such and such, but where to find it, I wouldn't know.
So you made a note about the story. That's great. Yeah, that's perfectly great. Nothing wrong with that.
We rushed against time.
All right. But I thought if you had a couple and they had a couple different ones, we'd actually come up with them. So.
It's hard to not be just one-sided because I think I have to look out quite a bit.
As I worked on it, I felt like I may have set up a straw debate in that the one side. In my mind, I have a hard time with the other side. What have we been doing? Just look at what we've been doing. We've been doing word. No.
Sure.
And so that's, I realized that I need help, especially understanding this, the other side, you know. I mean, obviously I've got my bias, and even in the wording the question, and this is always happens, even in wording the question, I reveal my bias, and that's one of the real gifts that you can give me is the what is the other side.
Yes, just in thinking, you know, of the stories and stuff, I was looking at specific passages. I had trouble taking anything out of the setting. I was thinking sides by the setting, you know, or the whole story or the people at that time, rather than what the passage is actually saying.
Right. I really appreciate that sharing, because it's real hard to take out and just say, well, because of this little proof text ideas.
I could name rituals and laws and sacraments coming out of the ears of the Old Testament, but then to realize that a lot of those come from the social consciousness of people taking care of each other. You know, the society, strangers into their culture and our community. They seem like rules and rituals, but they're not set up for that.
Like Jubilee and...
Yeah. They seem like a ritual or a sacrament or whatever, but it's really social-minded.
What I have on the board is not what I asked you to look for. What I have on the board is just a few, just a real little quick sampling of some of the scriptures that I've been experiencing as I experience calls to unity, calls to unification. Some of these are the scriptures that were the energy, the scriptural focuses that they used at World Council of Churches. And some of these are scriptural focuses that they used in Church Women United International Assembly this summer. Calls to unity and to healing and to peacemaking. And so I thought it'd be kind of fun to get some of those up there, and I have several more, but I just put a few up and sort of see if there are any correlations between what you found and what, you know, what is there. So that's just a little process, another process that I'm working on. But I'd like to lift up then some of the scriptures are things that, as you look at the word, and as you thought about, pick, I'll make you make an evaluative decision. Which one spoke to you best?
On which side, or do you want them all? Any side. You want them?
Any side, just the one scripture. I'm not going to put any words in anybody's mouth.
Melanie, what was yours? Where
is this? Matthew 22.
It's actually Matthew 23, 22.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear it very well.
It was confusing me because I have Matthew 22. And it's on the other side.
Okay. That's interesting.
Well, I think this is... Well, I should. If I were in the debate, I wouldn't admit this, but I think it's a weak argument. But I'm going to say Matthew 22, beginning of the 16th verse. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully and care for no one, for you do not regard the position of humankind. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites?" And they brought him a coin, and Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's."
Thank you.
Well, also, probably the first time too, when they heard it, they marveled and they left him and went to bed.
Mine is Isaiah 42, 1, 2, 4. And this is 4. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the streets. A bruised reed will he not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not fail or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlines wait for his law."
Yeah. Thank
you.
One that we thought of is Romans 10th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and power to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who has faith may be justified. Against him.
Thank you.
I have the Exodus 16, much of the whole chapter, just starting with verse 16, it's, this is what the Lord has commanded, gather it, every man of you, of as much as you can eat, you shall take an omer of peace according to the number of persons whom each of you has in his tent. People of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. This whole account is the account of the manna story. And then with that story is where it relates to Paul in 2 Corinthians 8. He relates to that story. Verse 14 and 15. But that as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their want, so that their abundance may supply your want, that there may be equality, as it is written, quote, he who gathered much had nothing over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Reference to the Exodus 16, and it will be 1-4. It will be a 4.
We have 2-4s here.
I thought that the attitude, could I just comment there, that I think someone that was on the opposite side could take that the other way. The person who gathered for himself had enough. You might use that for
That's really true. It's really true. That happens a lot. Okay. Linda, excuse me.
Yeah, I thought of the attitude right away. I mean, I have many down here that have been said. But I picked Isaiah 1, 16, and 17. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow.
And that's Isaiah?
Isaiah 1, 16 and 17. Let's go.
Matthew 28, 19, and 20 against by omission, because it says go into all the world and make disciples of all, baptizing them in the name of God and teaching them. So the emphasis is on word and sacrament, and by not saying any more could be used as argument against.
Good, thank you.
I have two, I guess. This one is used to justify apartheid. Romans 13, 1 and following. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. That's
the first. did you have another?
Well, this doesn't have to do with Proverbs 13:24. It doesn't, I don't think it has to do with anything. He who spares a rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. That's nothing to do with the word sacrament.
He just likes to run there.
13:24, did you?
Yeah. What?
He just likes to run.
You can skip it. Oh, wait, skip that one, and I guess this is the one I want. Luke 1, 46 and following, Son of Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Scattered the proud, imagination will help. Down the mighty from their throne, and exalted those of low degree. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Yeah, 46 through 55.
The ones that are marked like this are some of the scripture texts of the Native American. The goodness of creation, Genesis chapter 1. The wounds of the earth, the new earth in Ephesians and Revelation. The healing earth, Chronicles, Leviticus, Hosea, Isaiah. Just to kind of... Did you have another one that you wanted to get into there when I made you pick only one? Yes.
The theme of my home congregation, which is written across the sanctuary, is 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself.
But if you see that as just a spiritual reconciliation, the anti-social justice wouldn't see that as a call to it.
She
did.
You want them to be four or
I would like it to be four.
All right. And you would like it to be...
No, I'm just pointing out. It could be.
Well, we'll put that. That is a good point. You know, and I think...
Like the one about Mary's song. It's the Lord has put down the mighty from their throne. So we leave that work to the Lord. We don't have to do it.
Am I spelling against wrong? This looks funny. You know how you feel like
yes.
Suddenly,
yes.
Oh God!
What is that?
What am I doing?
Good spelling, Lord. I mean, I don't think that's right.
Okay. Well, what do we have here? We have one really good point. If you've read Dr. Marie Fortune's book on sexual violence, I just had a presentation by her, and this is a very important point that. Scripture can be a source of empowering and release, and it can be salvation to a particular social justice issue. And it certainly has been and can be a roadblock to healing, to social justice, to equality. The word itself has been very much on both sides of the issue, and is on both sides of the issue. But just a point that I wanted to make, one of the reasons why I really want to keep up doing this, and really this is the beginning of this discussion, is that is where we are going to understand the issue is in our preaching and teaching in the Word. As we deal with the Word, as we share the Word and preach the Word and experience the anointed ministry of the church in the text, Sunday morning text, as we do this work. This is, you know, to me, one of my charges as a minister to the church is to call the church to account on institutionalized racism, sexism. And that division, as we look to organizing the new church between what we call social justice ministry and word and sacrament, is one of those ways, I think, in the Lutheran Church. It is one of those things that I would like to see us really talk about, this question that I've lifted up.
Well, I could agree more. And also to call out against the evil of the word and sacrament concept, because it is, I think it's become evil. Because what it emphasizes is the time when the word is spoken and the sacrament is celebrated, rather than the fact that we are a word and sacrament people who carry within our bodies the word and the sacraments. When they say word and sacrament ministry, most people do not mean that. They mean only the occasion in which word is spoken and sacrament is celebrated, which is a meniscal part of word and sacrament ministry. It's a distortion even in itself. In campus ministry, you have a word and sacrament ministry if on Sunday morning you celebrate the sacrament and preach. And the concept that you could have a whole word and sacrament ministry without ever celebrating at a campus the word and the spent preaching is impossible to them. That the word may come from elsewhere or be carried in the people who are there, and they would celebrate elsewhere. They would say that's not a word and sacrament ministry, and that's a distortion.
Also with that, which keeps the clergy separate from the clergy.
Exactly.
And so on. The other part of that thing is that the word is in the sacrament is in the mm-hmm. word, and you can't say word and sacrament
right.
because it's exactly the same.
Word slash. Yeah.
And you can't separate those two.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you separate that out from the concept of the body?
To bring this into a Native American perspective, that the word is sacred. The words that we use are embodied with power. And tonight I will be sharing a vision using words. And there is in my heritage and teaching a concept that when you open your mouth and speak those words, are they not, when you speak a prophetic word, which is a vision, a word of God, will it not happen? And I had the sense, especially at World Council of Churches and at International Assembly, that some of the words that we spoke are prophetic to this nation and to our world. And that's an awesome responsibility on two sides. One, because it's a tremendous lifting of hope. The words that we have. It's also a tremendous word of judgment. And in the sense of the prophetic word of judgment, I think, for this nation. And why this ministry, the ministry of what they call, is it Anna Wynn? Anna Wynn? Is so essential. Why women must be heard. Why Native American voices must be heard. Why black people must minister to the church. And ministering with us. But it is also very scary for Judith. Who do I think I am when I say that this ministry is to the Lutheran Church. But it's real important to me. It's real important to me that people understand that the ministry, the ethnic ministry, which has been, in one sense, taken to pieces, is not a ministry to the ethnic people of the United States. In the Lutheran Church, the ethnic ministry is a ministry to the Lutheran Church, and it has the potential for giving a gift. It's not that there's going to be any loss. It's like the ministry of women in the church. It's not a ministry that will require the taking away of something, but it's the gifting of a tremendous, almost pent-up force for manna, for our blessing to the church. And it's the same, I believe, with the ethnic ministries of the church.
And for whatever comfort may be you, that's the very best Lutheran tradition. That's where the whole business started, was on this thing for the Luther to the church. It would be most Lutheran, which whatever that means, you know. I think it's universal, but in this sense, in an institutional sense, it's a very Lutheran thing to do. Although we don't like it.
Would you do yours before again? Would you say again what you were saying before?
Just now?
The previous one. The word and sacrament is in us.
We're baptized into Christ, and the word of Christ dwells within us. We carry that with us. We need to be renourished in things for it, but the ministry is carrying that word, which we have received wherever we are. And so word/sacrament ministry is what I do after I leave the place where we do word sacrament, because I'm carrying it.
But you are saying that we need the renewal, the
sure.
Word sacrament.
But to say that's word and sacrament ministry,
and
the
other
isn't.
Is it? I see.
Yes.
Yeah, you're trying
our
to
emphasis
have.
Is on when if
to
you
erase
have
that I haven't.
Right. Exactly. We talk about word and sacrament ministries, and we ask when you have church,
yeah.
When did you have a service, or whom did you baptize? Not what happened after the baptism. Not what happened after church. You know, it's that distortion that is very general. Because to identify it means. Tell me then when you did it, not what happened afterwards. And what social justice is what happens afterwards because we have been married.
Now, how can you really have a communion? Can it even be a communion when those people who are part of the family are not there?
Yeah.
You know, is it right for us even to say we are communing? It's sort of like starting dinner without mom and dad. You know, it's like, wait a minute, everybody's not here. It's not, we're not ready. So that some other traditions are real reluctant to share communion with each other because of that, you know, it's sort of that cheap. And another basic sacrament of the church is the absolution after confession, after repentance, you know. And I think we keep having to say, and Marie Fortune does it so much better than I do, in terms of their, you know, the context that Marie Fortune is lifting this up is in the context of abuse. Say like a father who's been abusing a child, or an uncle who's been abusing a child, and these abusers come to the parish pastor and say, I'm sorry, I know this is wrong, I want forgiveness. And she laid out the process of healing for this man, for reconciliation with the church, is that he repent, which means that he stopped abusing, and that he make restitution that he named in terms of justice and make healing to this child before there is reconciliation. And that we're real quick to have reconciliation in our church. Every Sunday morning you get it. The Lutherans get reconciliation. Even if they're not responding to the poor. My heart is so concerned about this because of those verses that say, if you eat this unworthily, you eat judgment upon yourself. And if we are so arrogant as to be taking communion without repenting and without making restitution and without turning to a different way, what are we doing to ourselves? Are we not eating judgment on ourselves? And that's one of those arguments that I have for sacrament when I say, how can we have a sacrament ministry without repentance? That was the feeling at World Council of Churches. So I want to give you something to sort of close this.
Can I have one more thing up there that is different somehow in Jeremiah chapter 7? Because he's talking about when they come, he says, hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. But then he goes on and he says, this is the temple of the Lord. But if you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not, and so on, I will let you live in this place. But then he goes on, he says, but you steal and murder, commit adultery, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we are safe. As we worship, and yet, since you haven't done.
I don't know if I like that, but being worthy. You come to the Eucharist to become worthy. Otherwise, you'd have a feeling you never could come.
And that's really the other part of it. You know, I really agree with you. I really think that's the empowering. It is that I have received the bread, that you have received the bread. It is that we both have Christ in us, that we know we are united with each other. And so, yes, we can commune with each other. But then the responsibility, you know, I think that if there's anything about our faith, it's faith with responsibility,
yes.
Mature adult responsibility. And that's when, having eaten that feast, you know, boy, we know we have to go out and our priorities do get changed.
What I hear you saying is that there's no expression of all that, and we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
We really are not seeing that is a calling us to change. And so therefore,
but it is.
What have we done?
Yeah, I hear what she's saying though, because the expression is the social justice ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you see, it's marriage, it's the fruitfulness, you know. This is fertility. It's what we're saying. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It is there, and it's very empowering. And can be, that's what's so exciting in answering to what you had to say about the Holocaust, is you see the existence of the nuclear Holocaust is like judgment before us. It's like the voice of God saying to us, look what you are doing. And what's so empowering about hearing the word, you know, it's like that moment of confession when I stop and say, look what I did. I caused this pain. That's the healingest moment of all, because then you can turn to God and be forgiven and turn away from what you did that was wrong. Our country, our world can turn away. That's the point of what I have to say is we do have a choice. We can dismantle what we have put together.
And that's the point of the poem.
This is a song that is Words and Music by Carolyn McDade. It is so important to me personally. The name of it is With Whom Do You Stand? Have you heard it? With whom do you stand across the wide land? Take that to be the whole earth. My friends, with whom do you stand? With those of need or those of greed? Sisters, brothers, with whom do you stand? With those whose word has never been heard, the underside of each land, or with the conquerors who say history happened their way? Sisters, brothers, with whom do you stand? With those despised, the focus of lies, who know what it's like to be banned, or those who decide who's on the right side? Sisters, brothers, with whom do you stand? There are those who refuse to be lawful and choose human rights or the law of the land. Then they're dragged away, their sentence to pay. Sisters, brothers, with whom do you stand? With whom do you stand across the wide land? My friends, with whom do you stand? With those of need or those of greed? Sisters, brothers, with whom do you stand? Some go to jail, no money for bail, to witness for peace in each land. Some say winning is best and more weapons request. Sisters, brothers, with whom do we stand? With those who demand all have rights to the land and all must have their own say, or those who must hold hordes of power and gold? Sisters, brothers, with whom do you stand? With whom do we stand across the wide land? My friends, with whom do we stand? With those of need or those of greed? Sisters, brothers, with whom do we stand? O friends, help me see the oppressor in me. I'll drop what is yours from my hand. O God, let us care till we all have our share, and then all together we'll stand. With whom do we stand across the wide land? My friends, with whom do we stand? With those of need or those of greed? Sisters, brothers, with whom do we stand?